people. So I like going.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 to 5:50 p.m. And if this is your first time tuning in, we're going to tell you what our show is about. Our show is about upbeat, informative entertainment. And we do it improv style. Nothing planned, just improv style. So we're going to provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how to pursue a career in show business. And we have guests that work in various professions in the entertainment industry. And what that means is that we will definitely have someone from a career that you're interested in on this show sooner or later. So hang in there. If someone hasn't been on the show yet that you're interested in, by God, they will get here soon. And if you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, you can always visit our official website, which is the Question Reality website, and that's questionreality.us, not .com.us. And if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen to any of the downloaded shows, you can click on the schedule link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website, look for our show, which is Question Reality, and in the time slot of Sunday at 5, you can click that link. And it'll take you directly to our archive page, and that way you can peruse at your leisure. And you can also download us from the podcast section of iTunes. So that's always exciting. That's a new recent development. And we would love for you to call in and ask questions or provide comments on the guest of the show. And we are live, so we want positive, upbeat comments and no negative. And we ask that you call in between 5:15 and 5:30. And we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. And the call-in number should be right in front of you if you're listening to us on the computer. But just in case, the number is 323-203-0815. And we have a fantastic guest, as everybody knows, because I'm getting emails galore. Some of you have heard of, most of you actually, except in the foreign countries, but most of you have heard of the lovely, sexy, dynamic, spectacular, and I could go on and on and on, Megan Foley from Megan Foley Casting. And I've been getting emails from you guys, and I put them together, and I hope that yours gets covered, but just in case, you can always call in and ask her yourself. So she'll be here until 5:50. So get those fingers dialing if you don't hear the question. So welcome Megan Foley from Megan Foley Casting.
Thank you so much. I don't know if I can follow up on all of that.
Well, yes, you can. You know, some people wanted to know, a couple people actually wanted to get started in casting, and they were asking, how did you get started as a casting person? Now, why don't you take us back to when, I know it was in 1987, but what was the catalyst? What made you decide to go from one occupation to the other? Why casting?
Well, actually, I was dating someone very seriously, and I woke up one morning at the crack of dawn and realized that if I stayed with him, I was going to be a waitress at Denny's when I was 50, which is not anything wrong with that, but not what I wanted to do as a career. So I called my sister and said, get me a job, quick, help me. And so I broke up with him that day, and a day later, I had gotten in touch with Ava Shevitt, who was a friend of my sister's, and Ava got me started at a production company. And I started working at a production company, Paisley Productions, which is no longer, and within about a year or so, I had moved up to one of the director's assistants. I was not an assistant director, but I was his personal assistant.
So this was a production company that focused on...
Commercials.
Commercials, okay.
Commercials, which is how I ended up pretty much in the commercial field itself. So that's how it happened. I just
Were you an intern first, or did you go directly?
No, okay. I worked with Sharon McGee, wonderful Sharon McGee, mm-hmm. And really got my training from her. Mm-hmm. At once I started assisting. She was working with the director that was there. His name was Peter Richardson. And she was working with him, and we just hit it off really well. And I started working with her, and then finally just kind of went out on my own and, you know, hung a shingle. And, you know, ignorance is bliss. I was 27 years old, I think, and I just hung a shingle and said, oh, hey, guess what? I'm a casting director.
Hey, look at me.
That's how it happened.
Well, that was in 1987.
Yes.
Now, from 1987 until now, long time, you've done it all. Do you still feel the same excitement, the same thrill? Because it looks like you do. I mean, I work with you and I'm like, God, it's like she's just gotten started. This is her first job because of the excitement level, the thrill of getting it. How do you feel about that?
You know what? The job comes and goes on its excitement level for me, honestly. But what I love is the people, and that's why I enjoy it so much. I meet all different kinds of people. I get myself in situations that I never thought I'd get in a million years. And I end up really having a good time. And that's really what spurs me on. And it's the when I get to work with people that are super, super creative. And that happens most of the time, but not all the time. And many years ago, I worked with a director who will remain nameless. And after working with him for a very long time, I said, I can't do this anymore. I cannot work with jerks. Mm-hmm. And so I went, Michael Donovan was my assistant at the time, and I went to Michael and I said, you may have to take a cut in pay, but we're not going to work with this. He said, I've been waiting for you to say that. And so really, that was about 13 years ago or so, and I just said, I'm not going to work with jerks anymore, and I really made that my commitment. I will work with a jerk once. And so that's what keeps me loving it, is because I work with people that I love. I get to meet actors that I love. I love actors. I've always loved actors. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of casting directors that aren't that crazy about actors, and I always wonder why they would choose this career then, but nonetheless.
No, that's true. I had Stuart Stone on from Stuart Stone Casting, and I asked him the same question, because as a person who also goes out for auditions and speaking to other actors, we find that we go to a lot of people from top casting agency, and they look absolutely miserable. Like, they hate their job. And I don't know if they realize that, of course, the actor comes in, they're all excited about the audition, and they are affected, even though they're not supposed to be, but they are affected by the mood of the person.
Absolutely.
And I think that casting people should realize that they should at least try to act a little happy. I know it's hard because they see so many people all day.
Well, it's hard. A lot of times that who you're seeing when you're out there is not necessarily even the casting person per se, but it's somebody that we've hired that's a little overworked or tired, or, you know, and I try to stay away from that too. I really try to only hire people that are enthusiastic and exciting. My number one priority at my office is, and always has been, to make the actors comfortable, because if you're not comfortable, then I'm going to have a bad session, and that's what my clients are looking at. So it's self-serving for me to be nice, but it's also a lot easier for me to be nice, you know.
Yeah.
It just makes my day easier, makes everybody around us easier, you know.
Right.
I'm not one of those that kind of throws fits and goes crazy and puts actors down and
no.
Just not my style.
No.
It's healthier,
and I don't like,
too, isn't it?
Oh, it's much healthier. I'm a happier, much happier person.
Now, Megan, you've been in the business a long time. Let me ask you, what changes...
But I'm really, really young.
You are. She looks very young. I think I see some Irish. You're Irish,
oh,
right?
Very.
Irish. So we're looking pretty good. We got 20 years before they know our actual age,
that,
right?
Doesn't that help?
It does. Now, with all the changes that have gone on in the world, what do you feel has been kind of like a drastic change? So something that you would say has changed as far as casting actors, you can say maybe actors or technology. What do you feel, and how have they adapted?
Well, let me see. What I would say that it's really changed in our business overall is the outsourcing of our business. That, to me, is the biggest thing. It's not even actors or technology, because actors consistently study or should study. Mm-hmm. They consistently, you know, either are going to be able to do it or not do it. Technology, of course, has changed. It's made everything happen so fast.
Yeah.
That's my problem, is that that everything just happens so fast. Mm-hmm. And I, because I've been doing it a long time, I have a lot of little Rolodexes in my head to go through, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I find that I'm forgetting people that I would like to bring in or wish I'd brought in for something, right, because I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. They call me in the morning and say, can you prep a job this afternoon? And we're going to shoot it tomorrow. And I'm like, holy smokes, okay. So that is a big change.
Right.
But really, to me, what's changed our career overall, and to me, it goes back, and we'll probably get comments about this, but it goes back to the commercial strike of 2000, mm, when after such a long period of time of being on strike, that my clients that were dyed-in-the-wool, only going to shoot in America clients, ended up going out of the country to shoot after 4 months or 5 months or 6 months, mm-hmm, because they just couldn't not do their commercials. Mm-hmm. They had to do their job. Mm-hmm. And we found that they then discovered Canada. They discovered more, you know, they discovered Africa. They discovered Australia, New Zealand, all of those places where they could shoot easier.
Right.
And cheaper,
right,
and get a little kickback in Canada or some of the places, you know, for shooting there. So that really, to me, is what's happened. Mm. You know, I mean, it's the one of the biggest economies in the world here in Southern California, and it's collapsing.
Mm. Now, is that still going on progressively today, or has the union, SAG, done anything about this? Because I know I'm always getting, you know, the information from the magazines and the call sheets saying that they're actively doing something, but are they the ones that are supposed to?
No, I really think it's more governmental than SAG. I think SAG can only do so much, mm-hmm, but I think the outsourcing, just in general, in the whole government, mm-hmm, the whole country, not mm-hmm just our industry, is really what's changed our economy.
Mm. And that everything's changing. Barack, do something.
Come on, baby.
Help us, honey child. Help us, Lord. Now, let's talk a little bit about casting for new media. And by new media, I mean like webisodes and mm-hmm mebisodes. And is it still the same casting process for the actor as it would be for any other audition for a commercial, film, or television project? And, you know, I imagine it would be as far as the actual audition, but I hear a lot about actors saying, oh, now you have a barcode and you have to go do this and that. And there's like some processes that I didn't know about, actually. And then do they cast non-union actors for this new media? And if so, what are the differences between being a non-union actor today on a project and a non-union actor contract-wise? Does that even affect with the new media, you know? How does this webisode, mobisode thing, is it, you know, how is it affecting the business? Say you, do you get calls for webisodes and mobisodes at all?
I don't too much, but I have Eileen McKnight is a really good friend of mine, and she just did one for Robert Townsend.
Mm.
And they had all union actors on it, and it's Diary of a Single Mom or something uh-huh like that. But he's directing webisodes, mm, you know. So mm-hmm some of them, of course, are going to be non-union. They're going to be everybody's trying to, you know, make a name. But there are – so it's kind of 50-50, really. There are some people that are really doing really well mm-hmm non-union-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Non-union people, actors have a much bigger arena to play in than they used to,
right,
to get to that part of your question. They really have a lot more opportunity than they used to have. Mm-hmm. With Actors Access,
LA
Casting, Casting Networks, they have so much more that they can participate in.
Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful. I really do, because there's a lot of really good actors out there that just have never gotten in the door for one reason or another. And that's a way for them to get in. And I'm really grateful for that. And I use it all the time. Back to webisodes, how is it changing? Well, it is going to change everything. It doesn't. The actual audition process doesn't change,
mm-hmm,
but what is changing is the fact that the whole money issue is an issue. It's a hot button right now.
Are they battening down the hatches? I mean,
you know, I don't know. There's not a lot of money on webisodes because nobody really is saying how they're paying. I mean, mostly, it's just buyouts.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's a problem, and the people don't want to do buyouts. The whole SAG thing is I need to be better versed than I am with this whole webisode thing coming up.
I know. A lot of people are like, well, is the casting different? You know, how long does a webisode take? Does it shoot as long as a commercial?
They take some time. Okay. I mean, the shooting process is the same. The auditioning process is the same. What changes is on my end is the quality of actors I get because of the money that they're paying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then a lot of them want to know about the contract. If they have an agent, an agent's supposed to deal with that. But the non-union actors have asked me, well, you know, how do I get a copy of what I did if it's a mobisode and it's on a cell phone? Where, how do you get your copy? I'm like, I don't know if you do get a copy. You can just...
I don't know. I don't know how you track it.
It's very, very difficult. So with the new media, no one really knows, okay?
Does that answer your questions?
We don't really know.
We try to know, and every time you think we know, it changes also.
It's true. It's true. Now, in this economy, basically, a lot of actors, SAG, which is, of course, a union for Screen Actors Guild, and they are considering changing to Financial Core. And however, a lot of actors either haven't heard of it or are confused about how it works or have been told horror stories. When they change their status, they're never going to be able to get back in and they're going to have blah, 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 blah. Now, first, can you briefly explain what Financial Core is and what your opinion is of actors who go FICORE? And then should an actor who isn't making a lot of money in a year change their financial status or just hang in there? What do you think?
How many people from SAG listen to this? I mean, big wigs at SAG.
I know.
I will give you my honest opinion about that. I think that if you're not working, you need to be Financial Core. Mm-hmm. My feeling, and I've said this for years, I've said this since before the 2000 strike, either get active in the union or go Financial Core. And that sends a message to SAG that you're not happy with the way they're running it. Mm-hmm. It is a federal law that's an out for any union member to be able to go Financial Core. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, SAG was not wanting to let their members know about it, to not mm-hmm. tell them about it, because they... How did you know this was a hot topic for me?
I didn't. It was one of the questions. Because a lot of actors are asking
I think they need to know about it. I really do. It is a very hot topic for me. I firmly believe in it. I really do. I think that actors need to be able to build up their resumes. They need to build up their work experience. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to make a living, too. Yeah. And they need to be able to afford health insurance. And if you're only working SAG and you can't make the... What is the min? I don't even know what
that is. I
think
it's like $8,000 or something. I
think
know.
It's higher than that.
Or is it higher than that?
That you have to make. But it's
maybe $14,000.
I think it's at least that, but I wish I had it in front of me, but yeah. I didn't. But anyhow, I firmly believe in it. I used to know better when my husband was working all the time. Okay. Anyhow, I really think it's something that actors need to be able to investigate, and they can call SAG and tell the SAG that they're going to go Financial Core, and SAG will try to talk them out of it, which
yes.
of course they would, because they don't want their members to go out of it. But the way I understand it is, it allows you to work union or non-union. Mm-hmm. When you work a union job, you get all of your pension, health, wealth, you know, all your benefits. Mm-hmm. When you don't work a union job, obviously you don't get those. You have to give up your card itself, which to a lot of people is a huge thing. You don't lose your number, but apparently this piece of paper is so very important that you apparently have to give that up. And as I understand it, you can't run for office and you can't vote.
Right.
So,
and like we're asked to vote anyway. We're lucky if we get a DVD every year to vote.
It makes it very hard. It's not even voting for the awards and stuff, but just voting. Yeah. It's really more voting on all of the other stuff. And I think all the little perks, you know, you can't go to the movie screenings and stuff. However, if you're trying to make a career as an actor and you're making a living wage as an actor, then you don't need to get free movie tickets because you can pay for it.
That's
because
true.
You can afford it. So
you lose the you don't get to go to the classes either, the casting classes?
I think you lose all of that, but then people really need to look at how often they really do all of that. And it does allow them, it just allows them to open up a lot more avenues for themselves. Mm-hmm. And you would be surprised how many people are financial core.
Well, I heard there are some top stars that are financial core.
There are some huge people that are financial core.
Yeah.
And so you asked me, how do I feel about financial core actors? I love them.
Ah. Now, is it true?
Plus, it sounds cool, doesn't it?
Yeah,
financial.
Let's
I'm financial core.
Let's go FICOR.
I know, it sounds a little dirty. I'm not sure what.
That's true.
Let's not go down that road, though.
But, you know, a lot of people don't want to give up the card because they have attached that card. It's like
to their identity.
Yes. And it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I finally got the card. Because when you're starting out as an actor, it's the goal. It's the goal to get the card. And when you get the card, there's a party, there's drinking, there's celebration galore. And then why are you going to give up the card? And it's almost like they have it's like giving up a credit card.
It's an emotional attachment.
It's an emotional attachment.
Yeah, it really is. And it's not, so, you know, I want to see people working. That's what
yeah,
I want to see. So
yeah. And then...
there's a lot of non-union work, too.
Oh, my God. You get so much more work non-union.
You really do.
And you actually get paid a little bit.
You know what? I can't tell you how many clients I have, commercial clients, that don't want to go union, but they'll pay more.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, a real quick story. I just sent a woman to Europe to shoot something in Prague. For an American product that could have been shot here, but wasn't, was shot there.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to go financial core to do the job. I gave her the option, actually. Yeah. I said, you can go and get what SAG is going to pay you for their international buyouts for, you know, per country and stuff, or you can get this other amount of $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And she chose not to.
Right.
She chose to go stay SAG. And I said, absolutely, I understand. And that's why I gave you the option.
Right.
So then she gets there and finds out that the man that's on the job is making $60,000 and she's going to walk away with 12.
Oh.
And she was furious. She called her agent. She called me. She wanted to change her mind. I'm like, you can't change your mind now. It's already done. They already hired a company to be their signatory company and, you know, jumped through all these hoops and paid all this extra money to somebody else so that you could get your $12,000. So it was really very interesting. I just saw her the other day, and I didn't ask her what she's done.
No, don't ask her that.
I didn't want to start that.
Oh, well, we know how Megan feels about that. So I think that it really has to be a personal decision. If you want work and you don't mind doing non-union, go for it. They pay good. I mean, they treat you just as well as they do on the, you know, the union
generally,
sets.
That's true.
I mean, that's been my experience. And at least you'll be working. Oh, is it true that when you want to go back that you have to pay the fee all over again?
I don't know that.
That's
and I wish I
horror.
Did have an answer. Because I've also heard people say, oh, well, once you go, you can't ever go back. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
I would imagine because it's federally mandated and controlled that that's probably not the truth. But I don't know it for a fact.
We need to demystify the whole FICOR thing. I'm going to get working on that for you. We're going to bring a FICOR. Oh, you know, I might bring a SAG rep in. Oh, I don't know if I could. Oh, that would be good. I'll let you know if I do that.
I don't know.
A SAG
Tell
rep
us.
Talking about financial core.
Yes.
I don't know that you can find that.
I know. I'll have to use some drugs to get her on here. Now, let's talk about some of what I feel are the most important questions to be asked and answered by an expert such as yourself.
Okay.
And this was a big question. Now, if it has been a dream of someone to be an actor and they're over 40 right now, do you feel that they have any hope of becoming a working actor? And if so, what are the steps to make it happen?
Excellent. I love that. You know, I teach classes, and a lot of times the people that are in my classes are older.
Mm-hmm.
People that have been lawyers, people that have been doctors, people that have been, you know, salesmen, whatever.
Right.
All different careers that are seniors that are now, or even, you know, not even, you know, I just had a gal yesterday in my class yesterday who was a mom. She's raised her kids and now she's decided, you know what, it's okay, I can go back to it. And I love it. And yes, there absolutely is hope and room for all of them, because the good news is that, you know, we see the same people and we watch people grow up. And that doesn't mean just the little kids grow up. We watch the people, you know. Now I've been doing it for 22 years, something like that. So I'm seeing people that were in their 30s that are now in their mid to late 50s,
right.
You know? So I'm seeing these people grow up. And what I'm looking for always is new faces now in that older range, because generally as they grow up, you know, fewer and fewer people are doing it. So you're getting less and less of a pool to draw from.
Right.
But now as people start to infuse and come back in, or come back to it or start it for the first time because they were never allowed to do it before or for whatever reason that they couldn't do it. Now they're getting the opportunity to do it. Mm. And those are great new faces for me.
Right.
And I love that. Right. I love to see people that are going after it.
And it's a perfect job, I would think, for someone over 40, because either one, you could be established, married, as you said, had children, and you just want a part-time job. Or you could be just looking to have like a little socialization.
Or just want to follow your dream.
Or just follow your dream.
Yes.
You know, and you can do this. You don't have to be thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to get an Oscar or anything. You'd be thinking, I'm just going to work on a project, and that should be exciting, because if it's something you wanted to do, the first time getting on the set is very exciting. So I encourage a lot of people to do that.
I do.
But they're scared because they think, you know, there's all these hotties running around, and they get intimidated. But explain to people that everybody has an age group, everybody has a look, and either you have the look they're looking for or they're not, and you shouldn't feel like you're being rejected for a physical impairment.
Absolutely, or difference. Because, you know, when I very first started in commercials, talk about the way that changed, is it really was people that were beautiful and sexy and small and all that kind of stuff had a place in the commercial business, especially, and not so, you know, if you were not any of those things. And then came the advent of all of the Settlemyer stuff and all the Bartles and James and the Real People commercials. And
right.
that really started to change things. And all of a sudden now, there's any type can do any kind of TV. I mean, because everybody needs to be represented.
Right.
So it's really wonderful. And it always makes me very sad when people think, oh, I can't do it because I'm, you know, I'm too this or I'm too that or too whatever. If you want to do it, there is no reason.
There is a place for everyone. I cannot tell you how many people call me and they want to paint me in latex, put some daisies on me, have me run through the damn forest with an axe for some independent film. So there's work out there.
It's sad when people say that about themselves because they're not the casting director.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And people count themselves out before they've
That's
even given
right.
it a chance.
There's so many different looks out there, I'm telling you. Now, what type of projects should people over 40 be pursuing realistically? And, you know, what classes should they take? Say they want to take some classes. What type of projects, commercials, do you think they should go theater, more theatrical? And then what venue should they pursuing more, commercial or theatrical, if they're over 40 and they've never had experience?
If they've never had an experience, I would tell them to even start out doing extra work.
Yes.
That gets them on the set, that gives them on-the-job training that they really can't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of people that are working as extras, and that's all they do, and make,
a lot of money. It's true.
So they can do that. They should be in acting classes.
Mm-hmm.
They should absolutely be. And that then goes to what do they want to do? Do they want to be in television? Then they should be in acting classes that kind of promote that. If they want to be just doing stage and they want to be doing theater, then they should be in theater classes. Whatever.
Or commercial.
There's commercial classes. And it's funny because, you know, that's my main bread and butter.
Yeah.
And I find it so funny that people always think that commercials are so easy because commercials, to me, are really hard.
Yes.
And we have actors that we've had actors in that have won Tonys, that have won Oscars, that have won Emmys. We had Now I can't think of her name. But somebody like 2 weeks before they won an Oscar was in my office for the cow that did Nixon that was...
The one that was the wife of Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
What is her name?
Oh, she's
Patricia.
So fabulous.
No.
But anyhow, she was in my office right before she was nominated. I can't remember if she won or not.
Right.
But she went, and she was so wonderful. And there she was.
Yeah.
And she knows how to do commercials. But there's so many people that have that experience at level of TV that have no idea how to do commercials. And really, because you have to tell a story in 15 seconds or 20 seconds. You don't have, you know, 30 minutes or an hour or...
A lot of people don't realize there is such a difference between theatrical acting, like theater for the stage, and television and film. Even those three, it's different.
It's totally different.
Because you have to know different things. For example, why don't you tell us how different it is when you have to know about commercial acting? You got to know how to read a teleprompter. You got to know how to let
if you
tell
it.
It.
Yeah, if you get
you know,
a
why
teleprompter.
Why don't you tell us how a commercial, what if you come to a commercial class, say, for example, somebody comes to your class, what are they going to learn?
They're going to learn a lot. They're going to learn how to do everything fabulously.
Yeah.
No, really what they're going to learn is they're going to learn a lot. Really what I do is a lot of teaching about the business itself, how to handle yourself in the business situation, because that's a huge part of it. Because there are very mediocre actors that handle themselves with a great business savvy and are very successful.
Right.
Because they have good business savvy.
Exactly. And common sense.
Or good people around them.
And street smart. Yeah. That's
true. Yeah. Or they pay you a lot for that. The other thing is that they're going to learn how to really look at a camera and talk to it, which is completely different really from any other medium,
right,
where you have to really be one-on-one with a camera itself. They're going to learn how to do it in a certain amount of time.
Right.
You've got to make – you can't develop a character in over a long period of time. You've got 10 seconds for somebody to say, okay, now do it like this. Okay, now be happy. Now be giggly. Now be, you know, try to seduce somebody. Now try to do this. And all these things you have to be able to change on a dime.
Right.
So you need to be really flexible. And that's one of the things with commercial things is you need to be really prepared before you go into a commercial, because you have to have all these other options kind of laid out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like warming up for anything, being a musician or an athlete. You have to warm up before you come inside. But people, especially with commercials, don't give it their due a lot of times.
Right.
You know, and it's certainly not brain surgery, but it does save a lot of people. It gives a lot of people very good livings. And I think it's really important for them to learn what to expect, to learn how to ask when directors give them bad direction, and they're going to, and they do. I'm sure you've run into that many times.
Yeah.
You know, how do they turn it around? How do they make it work for them? You know, and and so many actors, because we're people pleasers, and I include myself in that. As you know, did you notice that? Because that's my background.
Well, we are. We wouldn't be trying to please someone. Everybody's a people
pleaser.
All
right. Most actors are, at any rate.
Well, if you want something, you better be pleasing somebody to get it.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. So that's, you know, it's one of those things where you have to learn how to, I'm constantly teaching people how to stand up for themselves, how to get what they need without being needy.
Right.
And that's a huge thing, and that's a lot of what we teach.
So in your class, one would not only learn the business aspect, but one would also learn about how to read cue cards, which are off to the side, and you got to read it, but then you can't look like you're reading it. You got to do the character, know the lines, have the cue cards there, be aware of it, but you have to look to the side, but then not too much. It's a whole process.
Right.
Is
and
it
you know
not?
What? It is. It is. And I am, it's funny that you said that about cue cards, because I am a cue card hater.
Oh, you are.
I hate them. I think they hurt actors. I think they are the black hole, and they are the devil for actors. Did I say that strongly enough? I really do think that, you know, as actors, that's part of your job, is to be able to learn that line that fast. And that is really part of my job. Is really what I do is try to, you know, I know there are classes that teach people how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
My class teaches you how not to use it because it's going to be in the room.
Yeah.
And so how to avoid it, because what happens is when people see it, they look and they kind of what I call fall into it.
Yeah, they start reading it.
Yes. And, you know, I can get Colleen Williams to do that if I need to. You know, I mean, God love her, but she's, you know, she reads.
Yeah.
I need actors. I need people. And it's much more important to me to see how somebody brings it to life than to try to show me how well they can read.
It can be distracting too, because
it's terribly distracting.
What happens? I sometimes you'll learn your lines, and then they have something on the cue card, and it hasn't been updated. It's different, and you're thinking, well, has it been updated?
Right.
And I don't know about it.
Which one's the right one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and what about teleprompters? You hate teleprompters too.
I don't hate teleprompters as much, but those aren't really so much.
Do they do that?
Not that much in commercials.
No.
We use it sometimes in industrial stuff and ear prompters a lot. But you know what? The problem with any of that technology is that if it goes out and you're in the middle of a show, what do you do? You are out of luck.
Right. That's why it's best to just memorize
it. Know it. We had a guy that came in, and I wish I could remember his name. That's what my husband's for. He remembers all the names. I just remember the faces and what they can do. But one of the many things he's for. But anyhow, What was I going to say?
Oh, we're talking about teleprompters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, a guy that came in, and he does a lot of industrial stuff, and he'll memorize 30 or 40 pages of industrial dialogue, medical stuff, like it's a one-man show.
Wow.
Because he had an ear prompter go out on him one time in the middle of a convention, and that was it.
God.
He's never going to get himself in that position again. And conversely, I had a gal that was dependent on teleprompters, and I sent her up to San Francisco for something, and the director kept saying, "You're not going to have a teleprompter. You need to learn this. You're not going to have a teleprompter." And she just didn't believe it. And she got on the set, and she did not know her lines. And I've never had him call me so upset, not with me, but at the situation, and just say, "You need to let her agent know that she will not learn her lines. She will, which is not good.
Not a good thing.
No, and you know what? Sadly, I used to bring her in for everything. Because she's a great look and a great type.
No.
And I can't trust her now to put her on a set.
That is part of your job, people!
It is. That's a big part of your job.
The next topic that I want to talk about is one of my favorite topics, honey, and that's being overweight in the entertainment business.
Oh, I can talk about that.
Come on, loves! Now, we know that I'm going to get into statistics in a minute. So, first I want to say that who in their right mind wouldn't want to be physically fit? I want to be physically fit, but I am addicted to the Snickers bar, as many of you are addicted to something. And this is part of what the world is like now. So we have to deal with hiring more overweight people. So I wanted to get that in.
Which was what great about that job that you and I did together.
I love it!
I did too.
And you can find that on the MeganFoleyCasting.com website. You can see me in my little pink jumpsuit. And now, however, we're only human. Now, I was saying that there's a place for everyone. However, when we look at television commercials, sitcoms, music videos, film, etc., just how many overweight people do you really see?
You know what? Honestly,
where the hell are they?
I know, and you don't see them. And when you do see them, they're being made fun of generally.
Yeah. And it may be one or two. Yet an article in USA Today reports that about 62% of adults and 34% of children are overweight or obese today.
Yeah.
And that's a percentage that has virtually been since 2001. So I just can't possibly... Can you give us a reason as to why the entertainment industry is not representing the truth of society on our various...
You know what? I wish I could. I don't know. I can't speak for them. But I do know that in every area, they're not really representing America, certainly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with a huge Hispanic population, and how many Hispanic shows are on the air?
And
you know?
Especially Asians.
Yes.
We hardly see any Asian people. I mean, to this
Again,
day,
it's always in either the chef or the laundry. You know, I mean, it's very stereotypical. You know, with gays, lesbians, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, a little bit more. I mean, everything is inching up, but nothing is going at the rate that it's going in the real world.
It is.
And I don't know if it's that they don't want to promote people being overweight, so they don't put it, but
I mean,
they're promoting
that.
Super skinny as well, and that's not healthy either.
Yeah.
So I think
just realistically, you know, overweight, you know, a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, 25, 50 pounds. I mean, throw in somebody obese once in a while to make it look realistic. It looks more realistic when you have, even if it's background people, put some background people in there who are a little bit overweight.
Right.
Or you could have a whole show called The Voluptuous Girls.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Just like the Pussycat Girls,
but
only different.
What do you think that's going to change based on what you're getting? Because you get the calls from the people. Now, commercial, I know, is different because you're not getting any obese people in commercials.
Well, you get them in some. You do get them in some.
Oh, you
but,
do?
But it's, not
those.
Very, yeah. It's not very much.
Just the Snapple lady back in the 80s. That's it. I don't remember. Well, you do, but how is that in the commercial world? So, for example, what if it's a 40-year-old person who's a little overweight? Is it unrealistic for them to pursue commercials because you don't really see overweight people?
No, they should still pursue it. Again, the funny thing about it is that my clients usually come to me with a very clear idea in their head of what they want, and they often are easily swayed when they see the right actor do it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. You know, years ago, I was looking for an African-American man that could dance under an umbrella. It was a Discover Card commercial where it rained money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we looked and looked and looked, couldn't find anything they liked. They were never happy, blah, blah, blah. bring in, they said, the last day they go, you know, bring in a couple of other people that you think might be right. You know, I said, okay, so I bring in one of my favorite actresses, Kathleen Bailey, and she comes in, nails the commercial, and she's, you know, redheaded, Irish, you know, nothing at all like what they thought. But when they saw it done the right way, same thing. Yeah. Megan Kavanaugh did. I mean, I can name millions of times that people have walked in and just nailed the commercial, even though they weren't looking for
right.
that type. And
sometimes they don't know what they're looking for.
Right.
Or you could put a whole different, you know, spin on it.
Right.
I mean, just a whole different spin.
And that's one of the things that we teach in our class, too, is that, you know, my big philosophy is to say, not to come in and saying, what can I do? How do you want me to do it? To walk right. in and go, this is what I've got.
Yeah.
It's to, as actors, as gift givers, that's really the way you need to think
right.
about it coming in. Instead of trying to take, what does the director want from me? And
right.
trying to people please, you walk in and go, this is what I am. And that's that passion that you bring into it is mm-hmm. what the directors respond to. I mean, my directors are totally turned on by people that come in knowing what they want to do, knowing, you know,
yeah.
being committed to their choices. Even if it's not the quote-unquote right choice,
right.
it's they're committed to that choice, and,
mm-hmm.
and that sells it.
That's a good point I want to bring up. What are some of the agents that you've heard, and as well as yourself, what are some of the pet peeves that you have about actors when they come in? One, of course, would be, don't be late. Two, some casting people have said, they asked me, how do you see this part? So tell me, like, some of the things that you don't like, or not that you don't like, or you don't think they should do, and then what you've heard.
Okay. Well, what I don't like is when somebody comes in and says, which picture do you want? Because, you know, I think you're a businessman. If I had like four different, you know, business cards, would I walk up to you and say, could you see a lawyer doing that? Which card do you want?
That's a good point. I like the way you put that.
You're coming to this, you know, the marketplace. So bring your wares and know what you're selling.
They just do that because they want you to see all their looks.
Oh, that's awesome. There's so many of those tricks. The other thing is I really like, I need actors to be prepared. I need them to know what they're doing. Uh-huh. I need them to come in with ideas. And I would much rather them say, I'm not ready right now. Can I have a half an hour? Than to just come in and, oh, yeah, oh, okay, I think I'm ready, and not be ready at all.
Right.
That's really, really frustrating to me. Needy actors, mm-hmm. you know, that come in and want to know, well, why haven't you seen me? I haven't seen you. Oh, great story. You want a real quick funny story?
I love stories.
I was in the gym in and you know I'm a little overweight myself.
Just a tad.
And, well, thank you. You're kind.
Just a cute
But
tad.
Thank you. My husband thinks it's
you
cute.
You just have a little lady locks.
That's right. Well, I was in the gym, and this was actually just after I'd had my second child, and I was in working out, and I decided to go take a shower, which I never do at the gym.
Yeah.
But I decided, you know what? I'm going to be late to work. I better just take a shower here. So I take a shower, and a gal comes in to the shower area, which you know how those are at the gym, and says,
yeah.
aren't you Megan Foley? Which, you know,
No, she did.
Yes, she did. And said, what? You know what? You don't bring me in anymore.
Oh, my God. That's like you being a man urinating, and they're coming over there, and you're like shaking it, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What did you do?
Oh, I just kind of said, you know what? I'm in the shower. And just let it be, but I have not brought her in again.
Well, I would think not.
Yeah.
That would be a pet peeve. Don't interrupt. What other things do they do?
Well, and that kind of goes along with a, you know, I have a big life. I have children. I've mm-hmm. got a husband. We run a theater. We've got, you know, I used to run a scrapbook camp as well mm-hmm. as this during you know, a couple of years when it was kind of lean. And so I have people from all different aspects of life, and they come up to me, and people will come up to me and start to talk to me like I know, like I'm their best friend and that I know them.
Mm.
And they come up to me and or I'll say, hi, how are you doing? And all they do is give me their resume. And I said, no, you know what? Now, how are you doing? Not, how's your resume doing? You know? So those are kind of my pet peeves. I don't really have a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even care so much if people are late unless they're keeping, but that's not industry-wide,
yeah.
so don't listen to that. But that's not one of my personal pet peeves. You know, it's just that I just want people to be ready. I want them to be ready and to have fun.
Fun, yeah. So let's talk about the, what we were just talking about, but go a little bit deeper. Let's talk about the agent-actor relationship. Very
mm.
delicate one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of actors get really nervous around casting directors, agents. I mean, I've never been one because I'm like, here I am. If you like me, great. If you don't, I don't really care. Because, you know, when you have that nervous energy, which I don't get nervous around people, but some people do because they always feel like they're being judged, right?
Oh.
So obviously some of the reasons are out of a need to make sure that they're representing themselves in the best light, wanting to make an indelible impression so that they can be remembered by you guys, right?
Right.
And for an upcoming casting project or something they've got their eye on, they're just going to be even more nervous, right?
Right.
So basically, what do casting agents, directors think of these actions that they do on your part? For example, a lot of people will send cookies to agents and flowers and stop by and just really kind of be a little bit too overt.
Kissy?
Yeah,
kissing
too
up?
Kiss ass.
Yes,
just kissing ass all over the place.
I don't know if I could say that,
what
but
do
yes.
You, yeah, what do, yeah, well, what do you recommend that actors should do? Because they never know
right
how to act.
I think that if they feel like, but they don't have to, but if they feel like sending a thank you or something for a project after it's done, I absolutely think that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, different people, you should call and see if there's somebody in the office that you can find out things about.
Right.
You know, Beth Holmes terribly allergic to flowers. Don't send her flowers.
that's
you know,
a good thing.
Good thing to know. Other people are dieting and don't want chocolate. People give me Starbucks cards all the time, which is great because I give them to my husband because I don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of see what would be good for them. But you don't. I don't want you to feel like you have to. A nice thank
right.
you note or a short thank you note is
yeah.
fine as well. I don't like it. I don't. I just hate it when people suck up to me when I'm not.
Oh.
Not in my office, especially when I'm not in my office.
Yeah.
If they're in my office, I kind of understand, and that's they're coming to me, and this is the business, and you know what I mean? I kind of get that. But I was, again, one of my best friends, my high school boyfriend got married out here, and he had some actors. He was a Broadway guy, and he had a bunch of actors here, and one of the guys was sitting at our table, and they put actors at our table, and I know, of course, they're going to, you know,
yeah.
he's all, they're all, and that's my life. I mean, those are all my friends. But one guy, he just tore his wife up and down. Why didn't you tell me she was going to be here? I would have worn my toupee. I can't believe you didn't tell me. And he just ruined the whole wedding for himself. And for me, it was hysterical because they're like, nameless.
I would have worn my toupee.
Yeah,
he said that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, he didn't know I could hear him, but even better. I do have ears in the back of my head, by the way. I can hear everything like a bat. But isn't that funny? But
yeah.
You know, so it's that kind of thing. When people are when we're out of the arena
right.
and people are sucking up to me, I just,
yeah.
you know what? I'm just a person. I've got
yeah.
laundry to do. I've got my grocery shopping to get done.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like, why do that? You don't need to do that. That is so uncomfortable and embarrassing to see. And do you not think that the casting person knows that? There are people who are judges, great judges of character. They know when you're being sincere and they know when you're not.
Right.
So just do it if you feel like it, but don't just
be.
Bombard them with a load of groceries, for God's sakes.
Yeah, yeah. Just be who you are. You
yeah.
know, I mean, it's just, it's you don't need to push yourself. If I don't know that you're an actor and you want to let me know that you're an actor, great, fine.
Yeah.
That's it. Hi, I'm an actor too.
Right.
Great. Who's your agent? Give me a card. You know what I used to really hate and now I'm starting to really like because nobody has headshots anymore are the business cards with people's pictures on them. Because if I'm at a party or something and
yeah.
somebody wants to hand that to me, that's great.
Right.
Go ahead. Hand it to me and it's not a big deal.
That's a good thing. That's what I'm going to ask you. I've been hearing headshots are out. Don't bother sending them because everybody's looking at LA casting.
I still think
Actors Access. Should you still send headshots?
You still need I don't know if you need to send them, but you need to have them. I
yeah,
can't tell you how many people come to my auditions
yeah.
and don't have, I didn't think you needed one.
Yeah.
I thought you were on LA casting. I am on LA casting or Casting Frontier
right.
or whatever, but I'm old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like to be able to turn your picture over and not have to go online while I've got four other windows open on my computer to look up your resume.
Right. And postcards, do you mind getting postcards?
I don't mind postcards
They're so
at
good.
All. They're
color,
still good.
Color, black and white, doesn't matter, does matter.
I prefer black and white photography, but color.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because it just makes you look good.
If you get a good photographer.
That's
yeah.
right. 10 years right off the top.
But you know what? Really, right now, if it's going to be on LA casting or Breakdown, it really needs to be in color.
Yeah. color. Yeah. So you can always Photoshop a mole out, but don't Photoshop too much.
No, don't. That's another. Talk about pet peeves. That's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Because if people have a big gap between their teeth, and then they Photoshop that, and then they come in. But, you know, so they're not right for this role, but they missed the job that they were right for yesterday.
That's right.
You know, when I was looking for somebody with a gap in their teeth. So,
yeah, so don't be Photoshopping too much. Now, when's your next class? We got 3 minutes. I want to get it in.
Oh, my gosh.
You're having a class.
I do. I do it once a month. And the next one is, I should have had this
January.
Ready. January.
Oh,
yesterday.
February 21st.
Yes.
Go to
that
Megan
Saturday.
Foley. Go to MeganFoleyCasting.com, and she's got a list of the upcoming classes.
I don't push myself enough.
Under,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's under what
we
teach.
You're too busy. You got enough to do. Get
it's
your
under what
your husband needs to be on here. All the dates. But yeah, go to MeganFoleyCasting.com, and she has all the dates for her shows. You're not doing a show. A class. And they're one day intensive.
Boot camp.
Starting about what time?
It goes from 9 to 6.
9 to 6, total
boot camp. Oh, you
know what?
If you want to mention the show, you can get $25 off.
You mentioned that you were on Question Reality. You're going to get $25 off. Hey, now. And if you say you're a personal friend, you'll get extra smiles and maybe a hug.
Always a hug.
Always a hug. So, Megan, any last thoughts that you want to give actors? Anything you want to say?
Don't give up on your dream, and don't, you know, just study as much as you can.
Study.
Do theater, do improv, and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, is it not? You could be a banker, or you could be an actor.
Or you could be a banker that does theater on
the
side. There you go.
That's true.
Megan, thank you so much
thank
for coming on.
Thank you for having
on.
Me. That was
Didn't
so fast.
Didn't it fly? You're
it
looking
did.
For is that a clock? I used to be over here. Is it back
it's
there?
It's behind there, yeah.
It
That's
goes.
A big bug.
It
no,
goes so fast. I can't even believe it.
It did go fast.
Megan, thank you for coming
Have
on.
Have me back anytime
thank
you want.
Thank you
it was
so
really
much.
Fun.
I got to figure out now what to send Megan for being on the show.
You don't need to send me anything.
Not a pair of libidas. But thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. And will you please come back again?
I would love to.
And we can talk more about FICOR.
I'll get more information
Let's
for you.
Let's both study it.
Okay.
And, oh, you know what? We could have a guest on that went FICOR.
I would love to.
And we could do like a
yeah,
whole
see how
panel
it was
thing.
For them.
Oh,
I can
excellent.
Do that. We can make that work.
Woohoo! So I'm going to ask Megan to come back maybe towards the end of the year, and we will have some FICOR people. Thank you. And we are coming back with how to lose weight by just drinking water next time on Quest to Reality. Have a great day. Bye.
Do you need a website but don't think that you can afford one? Do you dread the thought of even doing the research to find a company that you can afford? Do you cringe because you know that the person you talk to will try to sell you more than the advertised price? At Design on a Dime websites, we pride ourselves in being able to design original, professional, efficient, creative, and extremely affordable websites. Your website design will load fast, be customized to fit your needs and vision, and be presented in a clear, concise, and easy-to-read format with user-friendly link navigation. We challenge you to find a company that has lower prices and better customer service with beautiful, original designs. So, gather some dimes together and call us today at 213-687-6903 or visit us on the web at designonadime.us for your personal consultation with a very friendly representative who will be able to give you a great website that fits your budget.